Let's face it, my wife isn't always in the mood. That's why I use white wine. White wine contains an organic substance called alcohol. And alcohol increases her desire levels by decreasing her inhibitions. Just one bottle of white wine has helped me check off 75% of my bedroom bucket list.
I find if I have enough of it, I can't even remember the night before. That's good for him and me.
Thanks, white wine. Drink irresponsibly.
Hello and welcome to the Tad Podcast. This is episode number 79, which to the listener and my fantastic guest means nothing until I say this very statement. We are recording this on January 23rd, 2014, the day before my 35th birthday. I was born in the year of 1979. Yeah, that's about it. That's all the coincidences I have. So there we go. I am here, as you could read by the description, but I like what you're doing. Her face, this is where I wish we had a video. Very seriously. Don't laugh into the microphone.
I don't want to interrupt the intro.
Like, this amazing time, vibe I have?
Yeah, this is
I don't
time for
know
you.
If you noticed. I don't have a news lady. It's just you and me.
But what you're doing is you're setting the tone for everything. You're laying down this groundwork, and I want to take advantage of that so that the groundwork is laid, and then
you
I
wanna,
just
You want to stand on a firm foundation.
I want that firm foundation.
Let me explain to you how this show goes. The foundation was built in Haiti. And there's no building inspectors or anything like
that's
that.
That's funny, because when you said Haiti, my mind said Hades. And I thought, well, that's...
Hell.
That's hell. This foundation was built on hell.
In hell.
I've got to go.
All right. Well, we had a good run. That was our show. Stay frosty, everybody.
35. That's what happens when you turn 35. You get to just reference the netherworld.
Excuse me?
At any point, whatever you want.
You get to
call the powers of Hades. At any point, you're like, I'm 35.
Here's what I thought you were doing.
I love that we keep misinterpreting each other.
Yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be the best hour. It's going to fly by.
What did you think I was doing?
It's going to be a lot of us just doing a second lap around of what we just said. I thought you were trying to make it seem, which you are younger than me, but I thought it was like, tell me, old man, about your ways of yore. Back when Middle Earth was a thing. Like, that's what I thought you were doing.
What was 79 like? How long was the men's hair?
So, most of the listeners of this show, although I don't think they may recognize you from your last name, or maybe it would be fair to have, like, a pre-production meeting. Can we even talk about the fact that you
were on? Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, and they probably think my last name is Anchica. Kelly Ann Chica. I know her.
I like the stupid sleep-deprived parents who are out there. Oh, the Kelly Ann Chica girl.
I know who that is.
Yeah, that's so convenient that her sidekick was a chick.
We have Ann Chica family reunions.
Kelly, you will know from the Sunny Side Up show. She is most likely your favorite host from the Sunny Side Up show. And those are my words, not yours, Kelly.
I'm not saying
it. Yeah, you're not saying it. just every other mother and father that I have ever come across on the road. Hope I'm not speaking out of school. Nobody else listens to this except for people.
Mothers and fathers.
Are you already looking at me like I need to edit this?
No. I was right now thinking, oh, when is a good time to chime in and humbly say, well, thank you.
Right there.
So there it was.
Nailed it.
Well, thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
Sweet. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. And so, like, so I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that later. I'm going to talk a little bit about my world. Now, you do not have children.
I do not have children. Ooh, but we do need to reference the Chica Show, which I'm on currently on Sprout.
Sprout.
When does
the Chica? I wish if I was a better host, I would have.
It's only like five times a day, and it all depends on where you are. Because I was living on
Couldn't
the East
get
Coast.
You six?
Now I'm living on the. Maybe it is. Maybe there's a time smack dab in the middle of the night. You wake up, your kid's sick. And,
Here's what I often wonder about the Sprout Network. You're probably not the right person to ask, but one of the best things about it is that it follows your child throughout their day. So in the morning, absolutely, it's like you're peppy. It's, you know, the Today Show with a puppet and an attractive co-host of some kind. And then mm-hmm. from there, there's cartoons like interstitials. And then at the end of the day, you get some sexy lass doing yoga for you. And calming your kids
once
down.
Once again, I can't comment on things like that. Those are your words.
Those are my words.
Your words.
That I read from the thing you wrote down here for me to say.
No, oh, jeez. he's looking. Right now, he just pointed literally to nothing on his desk. Nope. There's just the surface of his desk.
I will not allow you to lie on the show. I will not allow you. This is the font you chose on your very own laptop.
Which font is it?
Printed Helvetica. Printed on my printer.
I only print notes in Helvetica.
Listen, I'm not here to talk about your quirks. I'm trying to get out about your sexually repressed feelings towards Nina.
Again, your words.
Okay.
Your words. That was not written in Helvetica. That was clearly in Comic Sans.
We should have come up with a safe word that you could say if I ever take you down an inappropriate direction.
The safe word is Helvetica.
Okay, good. All right, good. All right,
Helvetica.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to rein it in then.
So, yeah, so Sprout is a preschool channel, follows day in the life of a preschooler.
Yes.
So if, when you're getting ready in the morning, they're there getting ready, revving things up for the day. When you're home from school and spending time together, there's a lot of good you and me time, and then there's the evening that helps to wind them down at the end of the day.
Right. And so what I always think of, and the couple of times that I've come out or been up late at night, I turn off my PlayStation and then it switches over to TV.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
my TV
when you stop
was
being a deadbeat dad.
How dare you? How dare you? Helvetica. Helvetica.
Got it.
I have a podcast.
That's right.
I have a reputation to uphold.
Now we're even.
Fair enough. And but anyway, I flip over and it's like 11:30 at night and there's some kind of programming going on. And I'm like, I feel like you guys should be sleeping. I feel like Well, first of all, if you got a 12-year-old watching Sprout, you got bigger problems.
All people have all different needs and all different interests.
Why not just shut it down? Why is there a thought process behind that?
Because no matter when you need Sprout, they're there.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome.
Oh, you got all Santa Claus on us there for...
It's true. Rosy cheeks.
Bowl full of jelly?
Bowl full of jelly. Rosy cheeks, we're there for you.
Aww.
Kid wakes up in the middle of the night, we're there.
So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about...
Oh, also we're in all 50 states and Puerto Rico.
And Puerto Rico?
So I'm guessing that middle of the night... Okay, I'm bad with math, I'm bad with time zones.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on the East Coast... And it's at a very different time in Hawaii. Am I wrong? That's right, right? Time zones. It's a different time in Hawaii than it would be in Ohio.
Again, you could see Kelly on the preschool program.
Is this true?
I think time zones must be fourth grade level.
Okay.
So I think it's not in your demo. But I feel like these are just things you should know.
Got it.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, if your gig is to partially educate, there's a lot of basic shapes and colors that you're mostly dealing with.
Development.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you a little anecdote. Real
quick. Ooh,
and then we'll
wait.
Get back to time zones.
Yep.
At one point.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Zones or my anecdotes?
Your anecdotes.
Am I not allowed to tell stories on my podcast with you?
I've just got Helvetica.
Are you already tired?
Nope. I've just got Helvetica right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just ready.
You got a hairy Helvetica trigger.
It's right there. It's ready. But continue.
I want to see that video. Hairy Helvetica trigger.
Helvetica trigger.
So when HBO. I was going to school, and I think I've told this story on the show before, I was going to school before I started doing stand-up to be a professional elementary school teacher. And one of the classes I took was math, and it was basic arithmetic, but included in the basic arithmetic, which is pretty fun, taking addition in college, was also educational models, like how you could teach addition and multiplication and such. Well, there was a bunch of moms in the class that were having a hard time and had not passed tests.
These are moms who were in the class with you. They were going to college.
Yes.
To become elementary school teachers.
To become elementary school teachers.
Okay.
Or for some inexplicable reason, taking intro to mathematics.
Just become more awesomer moms.
Maybe. If so, did not break well for them because they failed the test.
Oh.
And the teacher said at the front of the class, he goes, if you are having a difficult time with this subject matter currently, you might want to consider a different profession.
I get it, Justin. I won't go into rocket science.
Not the point of my anecdote.
Because I can't.
Helvetica.
Change.
Helvetica.
Oh,
not the point of my anecdote. That
so
wasn't...
now you get to say Helvetica anytime I throw the train off the rails.
Helvetica? I don't know why you're being so aggressive right now. I don't know why you're coming at me. All right?
Helvetica. I get it. All Helvetica. Right,
I like that we've turned the word safe word into like a heel term. Like
Helvetica.
Helvetica. Anyway.
We're holding hands right now.
So she got, it's your script. She got upset. A couple of moms got upset and got angry because they were, you know, and so his point was, well, would you want somebody who couldn't understand this, you know, teaching the kids? And I always thought that was funny that, like, again, not attacking you for not being aware of time zones. I know that 95% of that is for humor.
But then, it is.
And so, but at the same time, that they just made it reminded me that there were people out there, and there still are, that are like, I should be a teacher, even though I don't understand basic arithmetic. But to go back to your time zones now.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how far behind Hawaii is.
Oh, yeah.
Ohio.
No, you're not expected to know that. I think it's, here's what I'm going to guess.
What?
I'm going to guess that it's 3 hours behind here on West Coast
behind
time.
LA.
If only there was some kind of service that we could look in type in words and then it would tell us answers to things like this.
You know what? I do. I feel that. Like, wouldn't that be amazing if you got a question in your brain and you thought, I wish there was a place I could go that someone could tell me the answer to that question in my brain?
Hold on. I'm going to flip your script over here.
Okay.
And we're going to use the backside of this paper.
Ooh, oh, my gosh. There's a thing.
And we're going to start writing notes on this because I think this is $1 million idea there's that you have. Right. Oh, there was literally a thing on the same.
There's literally a thing right there.
Current local time in Honolulu right now is 11:25 a.m. Current time in California as of this recording is 1:25 p.m.
Oh.
So my inability to math says that's 2 hours. Uh-huh. Earlier than us. Uh-huh. So if you want to go from East Coast time, which is what you were saying in Ohio, that's five.
So 5 hours earlier. So if somebody is watching Sprout.
This word problem has confused those mothers that were in that class with them.
They've shut you off. They've shut you off.
They're screaming Helvetica in their minivan right now.
In the carpool lane.
Right.
In the carpool lane.
Oh, yeah. That's when they listen.
So if you're watching in Ohio at, let's say, midnight, mm-hmm. it's only going to be 7 p.m. in Hawaii.
Yeah, 7 p.m. in Hawaii, and kids could still be up.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Touche. But it's not international. You're not going international with this Chica and Kelly situation.
Oh, Chica and Kelly. Yeah, yeah. The Chica show is international.
You could get it as a podcast, too. I bet you guys didn't know this.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So the way that Kelly and I met is I do events for a company called Oasis, and we travel and everything. And so a lot of times I end up being what they like to call a talent wrangler, which
I love that. Doesn't sound Wild West.
Yeah. It always upsets me because when I show up in jeans and I have a rope to corral and I start like whistling, shot, shot, to these television personalities, mm-hmm. then they start giving me funny looks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And when I knock strawberries out of their hands,
it was the Spurs that did me in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just got hurt. Scratched up my ankles.
To each their own, I guess. I mean, if you don't listen, if you would have just gone into where I needed you to be, then you wouldn't have been spurred in your flanks.
Yeah, my flanks.
Hardest part to find on Kelly, by the way, your flanks.
Oh, dang it.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to come up.
I noticed I didn't say Helvetica. I didn't say Helvetica because I thought I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, let's figure it out. You could at any time you could say Helvetica and retract.
Okay.
We could go back.
Well, I'm not putting it out there yet.
Speaking of off the rails, I have no idea where I was going to go with this. That's what it was. So that I told you guys, because of this very podcast, we are in the kids and family category on iTunes. So in a way, you and your silly TV show is competition for me and my amazing podcast.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're competition for one another.
Yeah.
The look across the desk just changed.
Yeah, it did. It's Helvetica is not even going to save you now.
Our eyes changed.
Because I'm gunning for you.
Our eyes changed from like curiosity and like mutual, like we were building something between us.
Yeah.
And it like lightning came and cracked it down the middle. And now we are separated by this like chasm of molten lava competition.
Right. Now we're the most adorable UFC poster you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You see the tension in between us.
Especially with my man sweater.
Yeah.
I am legit wearing a man's sweater
legit,
right now.
Is that your boyfriend's or?
No, it's mine.
Uh-huh.
It is mine, and it looks like Mr. Rogers.
I don't think it looks
Rogers.
Like a man's sweater.
Really? You don't? Well, it's because the shoulders are narrow. If it were a man's sweater, I think the shoulders would be bigger. I wore this on the beach the other day. I was like, I'm in LA. I'm going to the beach. And I get there and it's so great. It's like the coldest day ever. Yeah. And I sit on the beach on a yoga mat and I have my man sweater on. And I'm like, my one goal is to take this man sweater off. Ask me if I accomplished that goal.
Did you accomplish the goal?
No.
What?
I wore the man sweater the entire time because it was so cold.
Oh, my God. You know what I love is that you were telling me I was with you because I've been to the beach here in Los Angeles area and they are always notoriously cold. But what I realized is that you are coming here from Philadelphia mm-hmm. and growing up in Ohio, mm-hmm. and yet you were still upset that it was too cold at the beach. Yet it was probably warmer than any January you have spent in your adult life.
That's
yes or no?
True. Yes, true.
Answer
Justin.
The question.
Oh my gosh, it's true. Get the
you
spurs.
You can't handle the non-sunniness.
Get the spurs out of my flanks. here's the thing. It's all about a perspective. Because if I'm in Ohio and if it's that cold. Or if it's like that warm, mm-hmm. I guess I would be feeling, oh, it's this warm.
Yeah.
I would free my bikini and let's turn on the sprinkler.
Right?
Let's run in the sprinkler.
We're going to get on a slip and slide. And we're going to make some magic.
My parents have the slip and slide. My mom is a
Still?
Teacher. Yes, we'll get this. The
oh,
reason
boy.
They'll never get rid of it. A, I have a 15-year-old brother that was a big surprise to my mom at the age of 42. She was like, Kelly, when I think of the blessings God's given me, I think of you children. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. And she goes... Dude, she gets this look in her eye that I've never seen before, and now scientifically I can never see again. She gets this look and looks at me and goes, and I think God's going to bless me again. And my 15-year-old, overly confused, like, eyebrows. I don't even know what my eyebrows did. Like, looked at her, and I threw down my dishcloth, and I went to my room, and I threw myself dramatically on the bed, and just, like, all the clothing and, like, vacations that were now not going to happen
That's
because we had another... How horribly shallow is that?
Wow. I don't think it's shallow. I think it's incredibly aware.
Like, well, yeah, aware, but...
You're
like,
a teenager. You have to be self-centered, but to be aware that that's the... Like, to me, it would just, like...
Ew, my parents are still doing it.
Right. Like I guess that's as far as my 15-year-old brain would have gone, maybe. I don't know. But to be able to actually think of the financial ramifications of a new child.
That baby's taking money out of my pockets. That's what I said to myself at 15. Furious. Anyway, we're now pretty close, my little bro and I.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everything's patched up?
Everything's patched up. He's really funny. Except for all of his pictures on Instagram are of he and his girlfriend. Every one of them.
How long has he been with this girl? Is it serious?
Like almost a year. I mean, when you're 15, every relationship is super serious.
Again, let's think about who you're talking to.
That's true.
At 15 years old, I was 3 years away from meeting my soulmate.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My forever.
That's right.
So this could be his forever. And then he could forever make people throw up in the back of his mouth when he tells a story about how he fell in love.
This comes from experience,
he tells the stories
right?
of Instagram. People always say that when they say, oh, you're married to your heart. Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
But nobody, I think, truly wants to live that. Like, I don't think they really, when you've done it, like, I'm very happy with my wife. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm overselling it may make you think otherwise. But let me make it perfectly clear. I love my wife.
She's awesome, dude.
I love her a lot. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of guys, sure, they like to go out on the road. They like to bang around and stuff like that. Maybe scream a Helvetica in a strange hotel room every now and then.
Make others scream Helvetica.
You never know with other people, but not this guy. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. No, I have
in
met,
all seriousness, no, I'm very happy.
I have met your wife.
She's awesome, right?
Really, really enjoy her company.
She's is going to be inside conversation for a podcast, but she's also a big fan of you, Vrooman.
Well, here's the deal.
I really want to take up calling you Vrooman. I really like your last name.
This sounds like we're on a basketball team together.
Yeah.
What's up, Vrooman?
Yeah.
Like, what's up, Worsham?
Yeah. I like it already.
Okay,
see, it feels
done.
Good. It feels like home.
Worsham, what else is on the notes? I feel like there was a point. We were headed somewhere, but I don't remember where.
I was going. Well, we were going to talk. I have a curiosity about. I talked a little bit with Sean, another Sprout personality, mm-hmm. about what it's like to be a television host for preschool programming and then become a parent, right? I was curious about, from your angle, what it's like to be a television personality. Now, you could tell me if this makes you want to say Helvetica, okay? Because I am familiar, and it's been a topic on this show, where that it is the belief of many a father, especially a stay-at-home father, that there is some kind of black market, if you would, some underlying secret society that is trying to lure us in to turning on the network with casting attractive ladies such as yourself, as the aforementioned Nina. The most obvious one, I think, is the young lady from Choo Choo Soul. I think her name is Lady Genevieve. Lady Genevieve of Choo Choo Soul.
I don't know.
You don't know? She's from Disney Junior. So she.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If we lived in a Ron Burgundy-esque world, you would be in a gang fight with her if you ever fall.
With a trident?
Yes. You would probably have a trident. She would have some kind of a conductor's watch fob. And she also has a B-boy DJ mixed like conductor. He's for the ladies.
I guess I would have.
Also, you know Joseph Bears, who's a regular guest on this show.
Oh, I love Joseph Bears.
His wife has a huge. I'm gonna bring up a picture. His wife has a huge infatuation with the conductor from Choo Choo Soul.
Yeah, you know, of course. I mean, people like to look at cuties.
Yeah.
This being said, let's take me out of the equation because I don't want to sit here and talk about me being a cutie. But
okay, well, hold on. See, this is how it doesn't help.
Right now, we're looking at
Choo Choo Soul.
Choo Choo. The
now, if you Google Genevieve Hot, how do you where's your picture laying in the fur of dead polar bears?
For the listeners at home. Or on the train or wherever you're listening to this, we just brought up this image of this super attractive woman who maybe she's wearing clothes. I don't know because
she's a dirty birdie.
From underneath her armpits down, she is covered in what looks to be the skin of a polar bear.
Yeah. No, that is.
Which might be the thing that I have a bigger problem with.
Really?
Because they're endangered.
No, what you can't see because it stops at about sternum level.
Except there's a full sheep face.
It's a sheep.
I was going to say somebody
already threw paint on it is what I was going to say, but yours is much better.
I'm just jealous of her hotness. So here's the difference between her and me. Okay, like that is sultry. She is steaming there. I do not have any pictures of like that.
Nothing.
Maybe I need to Google Kelly Roman hot.
Oh boy.
Oh geez.
This is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be uncomfortable because here's the thing that
I don't know what we're going to find because I've never done this.
Oh boy. Here's the thing. If this is the one thing that would make me feel very uncomfortable because it's oh my gosh, it's already started. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm afraid to turn my computer.
Oh, there's kind of. I mean, I'm 100% fully clothed.
But hold on, but look.
Whoa.
Yeah, there are naked bosoms there.
Those are not mine.
And those are not your bosoms. But see, this is what I'm saying. What I was afraid we would find, people also think that you look like this chick, I think, here, whoever this young lady is. I don't know who these people are.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't know who that is. Yeah.
These are people that nobody. There's a picture of somebody that thinks that's what you look like in a bikini on a beach.
Oh.
But here's the thing:
you probably don't
know this, but there is a secret world of people that use Photoshop for evil purposes.
Oh, I do know this.
Okay, so that's what I was afraid we were about to find, and I was going to be very, very uncomfortable.
No, people have been so good to me. Really, honestly, I'm so thankful for the fans on Twitter and Facebook are just. I don't know if I think they just genuinely appreciate. What the show has been for kids.
Yes.
And I think it's clear, and at least what it seemed has been clear through the interactions is that they know I'm a genuinely kind, good person
yes.
who is fascinated about their kids and adoring their children. And I think that's reflected so far in my online presence, and I hope it continues that way. Should there be any people listening who are really good with Photoshop right now?
Please don't.
Helvetica that. Yeah. Helvetica that right
Please
now.
Don't. Please don't. That would be, yeah. None of our listeners would do that. I know
of
that for
not.
A fact.
No.
But so, I, like, have you, you have come across it? Because here's what I also ran into. My talent wrangling started on
Oh my gosh, my flanks hurt just thinking about it.
I know. It's over now.
Okay.
They started with Magnus Scheving of Sporticus fame on Lazy Town, also now on Sprout.
And his
His body fans, yeah.
Is, oh, you were going to talk about fans. I was going to talk about his body.
That's what I'm saying.
I see priorities
What I'm
here.
Saying is he was my first endeavor into this.
Okay.
And there were some moms that, I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, this guy's... probably well into his 60s now or late 50s and easily
forever young
easily looks like a 30 something year old man and just cut 0% body fat And so there were a lot of moms that would come up, and he would tell me about pictures. Like, we had a similar safe word where he'd go, whoop, like that. He would make a noise.
That's really obvious. It's not like he's in the middle of the jungle and can blend in and pretend he's a parrot.
No,
like,
when you, here's the thing. When you have all this distraction, the man literally is wearing a 1920s villain-esque mustache that just comes out in an angle from his face. Mm-hmm. There's bright colors everywhere, and we're taking a quick picture. But his little whoop was him telling me that there was the mom had just at that moment had her hand on his buttocks. That's what was happening, and that there was that's because he got that a lot.
She just wanted to test that 0% body fat.
Yeah,
theory.
She wants to make sure it's all real.
And let me tell you, speaking from experience, I mean, the buttocks is a trouble spot for a lot of people.
Right. And but he narrowed that down. You know what I mean? And
he so, said, boop, boop.
So I guess
her hands on my butt.
So I guess that's what I'm saying is that have you had any experience? And again, you can help Vedica this, but have you had any experience with any dads that are like, you're like, so listen, let me just say that the wife left me. You know what I mean? Like, I just imagine a father of a child that is in your demo is still sleep deprived and is maybe going to say things a little crazy. He's going to come at you and go, listen, my wife left me. My life is off the rails. But if you ever want to get a beer sometime,
I think, first of all, let's just take a moment of silence to acknowledge this is a really good interview question.
Really? Is this gotcha journalism or?
No, it's a really good interview question. All right. You're like, silence makes me uncomfortable. As soon as I said silence, he's like jiggling around in his chair.
Sweat.
And like, I just sweat.
There will be no such thing!
A little blood vessel in your eye. Just like
burst and a tear of blood.
That's exactly what happened. Silence, no! So I think dads are better at PR than that, in that even if they are thinking that, they come at it from the side of like, hey, you're cool, I'm cool, we should hang out, or like, do you ever like, you know, just go out? Generally, I don't respond to those types of things.
Do you ever like stay at a hotel with your fans? Is that weird to say out loud?
Do you ever wear collars? What? I'm like, what? So... I have a leash. What? What?
Never mind. Just take a picture with Jimmy.
Yeah. So I have gotten like, it's kind of like the subtext. It's like on the surface, it's like, hey, I'm a single dad. It's been really great to like, you know, oh, I hate watching kids shows, but I'm really thankful for the Chica show. You make it bearable. I get lots of those things. Like, you make it bearable. Not you make it great, but you make it bearable. I don't want to kill myself when I watch this like I do other things. But the subtext is kind of always like, do you want to be their mom? Not always. Sometimes.
I could easily imagine that with a good chunk of stay-at-home dad type situations. Like I would have a hard time if like the dad's like a stock trader or something and he's working all the time in a way and him imagine. But I could easily imagine if you're a stay-at-home dad and you've got a battle axe of an old lady and you got these two kids and you just see this delightful young lady who's just a bubble of sunshine and joy, like the exact opposite of the troll that you're dealing with at home. You see what I'm saying? Like on every level. And then they imagine, although I've known you on a personal level, so I know that it's not...
Not that personal, everybody, by the way.
Okay, yeah, let's make Helvetica. Helvetica.
But
no, that I know that
not
who you are who you are on television is not different from who you are not on television. Like,
yeah, I'm
which
pretty
I think,
chill.
I think unless you're always on TV for me, in which case... Turn it off. Okay?
Calm down, Kelly.
Just turn it off for me.
Breathe.
Let us in. Let us in. But you're a fun loving person, and so when you are going home to just a sad, depressed, angry, like I said, battle axe of a woman, then I could easily say, please be their mother. Help these children find
help
joy.
Help these children. We need you. Some dude did a blog forever ago that one of my producers forwarded to me, and it was talking basically was about how he's convinced I would make a really great girlfriend.
I think you would.
And I am. Like, I'm a really great girlfriend.
I feel like this is a time where I wish we could bring your boyfriend in here if he wasn't halfway across the country.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And
I know.
And the only way it goes better, though, is if he goes, eh, and then we come right back to us. Like,
and then the rest of it is all about me being single and looking. Can I be your kid's mom? It now goes backwards and, like, I make fans uncomfortable.
We hear tapping in the background of you filling out an eHarmony.
datasingledad.com.
Oh my gosh, I've thought about, okay, so, you know, if I ever found myself single again, would I do online dating? And once you become somewhat of a public personality, I feel like it kind of changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I don't want people to know. What if people find out that I'm on, and dating gets weirder and harder.
Yeah. I did a bit. This is going to sound hilarious. I did a bit with somebody where I recently pretended to be a male model. Like, it was a situation. You know how when somebody else gives you somebody else's phone number that you know, but they don't have your phone number in the phone? So now you get to do the thing where you pretend to be somebody else until they figure out it's you. So I played a male model talking to this woman, and I pretended like she was, her number was the number I was given from the chick that I had banged around with the night before. And she was very nice, going, oh, not the person. Nope. Nope. No, thank you. Nope. And long story short, though, through my tail weave or whatever, I really delved deep into this character. She said, you should try online dating. And one of the things I discovered in my stupid improv joke bit is that if you are a male model and you are doing online dating, it's not fair. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you get people who either A, think your profile picture is a lie, which is what I said that this guy said, or B, they're only interested in you because you're hot and maybe you don't want to be known as an object. You know what I mean?
I think all models want to be known as hot, though. They don't want to be known as not hot. If you were like, if they're like, oh, I always get all this negative attention because I'm so hot and I just want someone to love me for me. It's like, all right, then scar your face with acid and see what happens.
For someone hot to have that voice.
Okay, you know what? That might level the playing field a little bit for the rest of us.
I know it's hard because I'm hot.
I'm just so hot. I'm wearing this tube top. All I've got is a polar bear in front of me. People won't leave me alone because I'm so hot.
I wish you, in order to be a model, you had to sound like the snotty kid from Richie Rich.
Richie Rich!
That's a 35-year-old reference. You are welcome.
35 tomorrow.
Happy birthday to me.
That's right. Wow. But so on Facebook and stuff, whenever somebody says anything inappropriate, I don't even know. I just want to call them my friends. My friends on Facebook, all those people who follow me on Facebook, monitor it. So if it gets too out of control,
that's great.
Oh, you're hot. Oh, yeah, you're cute. People are like, come on, guys, stop posting this. Like, Kelly's cool and chill. Like, they stick up for me. And I'm like, I rarely have to comment on anything because I've always got this army of like awesome people that are there to just like be cool.
I'm always curious about it's a thing I stumbled upon, and I can't remember. I think it was something like one of those you may know. Like, so I have friends that are around Los Angeles that are within the industry and stuff like that. And so it came up with what's her name? Jeanette McCurdy, who was on iCarly, and I think she's now on Sam and Cat on Nickelodeon. Uh-huh. There was like, you may know so-and-so, and her name like showed up on my Facebook. So I clicked on it, and I was like, how is it that I'm connected to this? And what it was is, I think it was like, she hit like, I don't know how it worked. Like, some people that I knew liked her, and I think it's like parents, because like the show is funny and all that stuff.
Yeah,
she's funny.
She's so great.
But then it's really weird, and I hate that I even found it, but it's also, it's worth it. It's worth going and taking a look. These young ladies, because they're young ladies, will take pictures of themselves going out on the town, because that's what all young ladies do. Anybody on social media is like, hey, I'm getting up. There's my outfit.
Yeah, little selfie of me and my sequins.
But when you are on a Nickelodeon, like, majorly promoted, like, situational comedy, then you get creepo McCreepersons, like, all commenting on things that I'm like, whoa, what? And but she does not have the fantastic bouncers that you have on your Facebook page.
Yeah, I got some good bouncers.
Everybody, it's like, I'm like, I hope to God that this poor young lady never looks at this Facebook picture that she put up. Or how is it that she's texting this to her PR person and putting this up?
Like, but also, let me tell you, I'm not posting things like that. Those are on my privates page.
Yeah, but still, like, just the fact that that energy exists, that the internet can, on any level, even though I understand that that's kind of a consequential point of it, but just the fact that it can ever get to that level, to where you're like, really? Like, this, isn't there a part of you that feels like this is okay? And maybe here's the thing. I just now realize this. Maybe there's the guys that are making these weird things aren't, you know, 30-something-year-old dudes like me, that they're like maybe 22-year-old fans. But I just don't know how a 22-year-old fan falls upon that show. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Like, I wouldn't know who Jeanette McCurdy was if I didn't have kids that watched that show. And then it was the thing that comes on after all their cartoons are done in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Otherwise, I probably would because I worked for Oasis. But still.
But see, that's part of the thing with the internet. Oh, gosh. This is right now what I'm going to say would be a cool thing to have said in 1998, and now it's just redundant.
Okay. I'm listening.
So that fair warning, everyone, I'm going to get boring, and I'm not meaning to. Like, on the internet, get this. If I lean in, this makes it sound cool.
Yeah, sure. I could turn it up, too.
Get this, you guys.
What's up?
On the internet, you can be anybody you want to be. What?
Catfish.
Catfish. Wait, what's catfish?
You don't know catfish?
No, what's catfish?
Catfish is a documentary that has now become an MTV show where a guy fell in love with a girl online, and then he documented like his interactions with her and stuff because he thought it would be interesting to follow the relationship as a group because it was a purely online relationship.
Turns out she was actually a catfish.
Yes. Literally, he was talking to a catfish.
I can't wait to
watch
this.
In the rivers of the bayou.
Oh my gosh, it's a bottom feeder.
Yeah, it's produced by Lorne Michaels. And it turns out that there was a chick that, I think it was still a chick. It might have even been a dude or something, but it was somebody that was completely opposite.
Not at all who he thought.
The pictures did not match up. And so now he's turned it into like a series on MTV. I've only seen like one or two episodes, but it's essentially like Cheaters, but over the internet.
Because and he was loyal to her.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems.
Yeah, the same excitement happens when they actually meet and you find out that this isn't the person who you thought it was, and then somebody gets upset. And it's what's interesting is that the people who have the social disconnection to not be honest and at the same time create a separate persona from themselves also have the social disconnection of not feeling remorse for upsetting this other person and breaking their heart. That's what I always thought is what really is that shocking to everyone? Everybody doesn't understand that that person would have no understanding of how their actions would affect other people and also not be remorseful. They just stand there like robots a lot of times.
I feel guilty 90% of the time.
What do you mean?
Like I'm always thinking, oh, did I make the right choice? Like every interaction I have, yes. I go, did I make the right choice? Did I say the thing? Did I make that person feel okay? Yes. Like when I'm walking down a hallway and I see a person at the other end of the hallway and it's like a long, skinny hallway, I get like, as we get closer, I get nervous. Like, should I look them in the eye? And for how long? Should I not look them in the eye? Should I look down at my hands? Should I smile? Should I not? Should I say hi? And if I do, should I say, how are you? Should I just like, I get so anxious. And then by the time I get up to them, I just go, and like, then we pass. And then I'm going, oh, shoot, did I make the right decision?
I feel like that's my mindset every time I'm walking my dog and some lady is jogging by me. Like, I feel like it's a weird thing to look down at the ground and say, I refuse to look at you while you're jogging by, whether you're attractive or not, because I feel like it's like, I discard you.
Just to let you know, you're not worth me looking
at. Yeah, exactly. If it's an attractive woman, like, I'm honestly just being respectful. Like, but because I understand that when women run,
things
jiggle and bounce around.
I
don't want to look like a Creeposaurus Rex. Like,
no.
But I'm a friendly guy who will, I'll smile.
So I've had to adapt. That's what you can say as she gets closer.
Uh-huh.
Just start out and then go. I'm a friendly guy. As she passes.
You're right. Ice, break it. Just break the ice.
Just break the ice.
Right there.
Say what it is.
Yep.
I'm a friendly guy.
What if I?
I'm not looking at your jigglies.
The Richie Rich villain voice. I'm a friendly guy.
That's it. Richie Rich
then
villain.
She'll think I'm a male
model. I'm a friendly guy.
She's like, oh, wow, you must model.
Yeah.
He's got the model voice.
I bet he's got a print agent.
I 100% only look at people's dogs when we're passing, especially if they're attractive.
Right.
I was running through Burbank, and there was this guy, super cute and super dressed. Well, I'm like, why are you wearing that super cute outfit while you're running? Like, that's
because he's homeless in Los Angeles.
Maybe that's what it is, but super attractive.
Yeah.
Super attractive. I would say LA has the hottest homeless people.
That's what we're known for.
So. That's what LA is known for.
It's the cliche thing that everybody notices when they come to Los Angeles. They go, even the homeless people are attractive here. I blame Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they look homeless.
They made it relevant.
They made it really hot.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't buy that. Just a little snack. It's the Street Rat song from Aladdin. Moving on. So I only 100% look at people's dogs, especially if they're attractive, because I get intimidated by super hot people. Mm. I get really intimidated. So if we're passing each other, I'm passing this, I see him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, shoot, hot guy, cute dog. Like, is the dog cute enough for me to only be look at? You know what? He thinks this dog is cute. So no matter how long I look at this dog, he's going to be like, yeah, my dog deserves to be looked at that long. So this is okay. So I'm passing and I went, And I just like looked at the dog and I made this like little side smile and went to the dog. And I was like, good, passed it. So then I run and the thing, it ends. The trail just ends. So I turn around and I'm coming back and sure enough, have to pass him again.
Yeah.
And this time he also had to turn around. So the two of us are now walking back and I'm like, shoot, I need to make it seem like I did not get enough of this dog the first time. Like now I need to really take this dog in. I can't wait to see this dog again.
Yeah.
And I know 100% I went too far.
Really?
Like, this dog is there, and I went, oh, look at you. You're just, like, as I'm running. So it was kind of like I was heaving. So I'm like, look at you. Are you just cute? And by that point, we've passed.
Yeah, you are way Midwestern friendly for Los Angeles.
I had to be told in Philly, don't just go to people's houses unexpected. And knock on the door and be like, hey, I'm here. Because in Ohio, you do that. People were always stopping by our house.
Wait, you just show up at somebody's house
unannounced? Well, at a friend's house. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. If they lived kind of close, I was like, hey. And someone had to tell me. They were like, hey, just let you know, like, that's not a thing that people in it. Like, I'm fine with it, they said, which totally means they weren't.
Why is Ohio not known as the most friendly place in the world, then?
They are the most friendly. I am such a fan of Ohio.
Are you sure this isn't just, like, your family that does this?
It might be just my family.
Your family, I think, is really...
Yeah.
I saw Kelly FaceTiming with her parents while they were packing her stuff.
Yeah.
And it just made me... I don't know. Maybe everybody else has a normal family like yours, but like that would be the least thing my parents would ever do for me. Like, they're like, look, well, sounds like you're going to need to book a flight and come back here and arrange this. Because... Your mom and I got shit to do.
Yeah. Oh, with all the stuff. With them packing my stuff, they did. You got, seriously, my parents packed.
And then you called and said,
all of my stuff.
Did you pack my tools? To which your mom said, yeah, I got it. I'm like,
she thought of it.
Yeah.
She thought of it. She went into my brain and said, what would Kelly need? Her tools.
My father.
Got it.
My father, I feel like my father always was just thinking about how can I get him out of this house? Like, I feel like in
there. Okay, also, I wasn't still living with my parents.
I'm not saying you were living there. I'm just saying.
I shipped my stuff there.
Right.
To hold it
because
while
you're moving to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But I just feel like even when I was like, I feel like there was a time my father was feeding me with a bib on that's like, okay, is this
He's going to be 35. Time to take off the bib. That's what your parents just said. That's the
it's
card
a weird
they're
thing
sending
that my
to
you. I hope so. But that's not even it. My parents don't even send a card. You see what I'm saying? And it's not that they don't love me. It's just that they're like, listen, we did our fucking gig. All right. So I need you to stop. And I talk to my dad on almost a daily basis. But it's just a different thing that when I look at it, it always makes me laugh.
I remember what I was going to say.
Oh.
So my mom, but I was like, where were we headed with that? And we were both like, who cares? So my mom, people would always stop over because she was a student and a lot of her students. My mom was amazing. She was the person.
Wait, she was a teacher.
Oh, did I say she was a student?
No, I thought you said
she was a teacher.
Yeah.
For middle school.
And students would just show up at her.
Students would still come over because she reached out. She told me as a kid, she said, Kelly, when you're in the lunchroom, it is your responsibility to look around the lunchroom, find the kid who's sitting by themselves, and go sit with them. So I was, all of my school experience, I felt very responsible to take care of the kids who didn't have
anybody.
Like a
social surrogate.
I was a social surrogate. Thank you, Kathy Vroman, for putting that together.
Yeah.
So my mom was very like, so she practiced that herself. She would look for the kids in the class, who would poop themselves in junior high or whatever. She would, and that's actually
guilty.
A true story. It's actually a true story, which is why I use that example. And it was just a kid who accidentally, she was too shy to go to the bathroom. So she ended up going to the bathroom in the class. And like this girl forever, because my mom helped her secretly go take care of it forever, like loved my mom as a person. She's like, she would show up, she would send Christmas gifts. Like my mom made such a difference in these people's lives. So for us as her kids, that's what she would always say. Go look for the kid that needs a friend and be that friend. So students would just stop by our house at any time, which is why then I thought like it was okay to
stop
by.
I really
by
started
thinking
it was your family, not an Ohio thing.
One of those students brought by our house. He worked for a company that would print what are those called? Billboards.
Uh-huh.
And they had a misprint of the skyline of Cleveland. And so did I say skylined?
Yeah.
Skylined Cleveland. It's the skyline of Cleveland.
Eastern European Midwestern.
That's right. So the skyline of Cleveland.
Yeah.
this big, huge plastic slab, and that is what we used as a slip and slide because it was like five slip and slides wide and like four slip and slides long.
And it was
huge plastic.
So you would pretend to fly across Cleveland.
We put it on the ground. My parents have just a slight hill, and soap that baby up. And you would fly. Like, you could not stop yourself by the time you got to the grass. And it led to just losing so much skin.
Really? Yeah. Lots of injuries?
Worth it.
Yeah, I bet. There's no injuries now. I want to ask
There's
you.
There's not enough injuries. You know what? There's not
there
enough
isn't.
Of in today.
I know injuries. You're making fun of me, but I'm being serious.
I am making fun of you. I didn't realize you were being serious. Okay. Helvetica. Holding hands. Helvetica. So what are you saying? There's not enough injuries.
I'm saying that I feel like there needs to be more danger in children's lives. It makes stronger people. It builds character.
Don't tell that to the S&P team for me. Standards of practice. They're like, no, wear a helmet on that slip and slide. I'm serious.
Okay, let's talk about that.
No!
Because you guys have come up with... I know that you guys come up with your own kind of segments on the show. So I imagine... For anybody not in the television industry, S&P stands for Standards and Practices. And that could be censorship, but I think also there's a liability element that comes with it.
Specifically with kids' TV, because we want to make sure that 100% of the time we are modeling behaviors that will help kids to live lives that are the safest while also being the most educated and the most fun and whatever. Yeah. We don't want to show anything that's going to make a kid go, I want to try that, and then get hurt.
Yes. I used to be a rec leader at the city of San Jose, and I remember one of the other rec leaders said... They go, they won't let us play Chubby Bunny anymore, which for anybody who doesn't know, you stick a marshmallow in your mouth and you say Chubby Bunny. And then you stick another marshmallow in your mouth and you say Chubby Bunny. And you keep sticking marshmallows in your mouth. And then whenever you can't say Chubby Bunny, that's when you stop. And whichever kid would get the most in their mouth and still be able to say Chubby Bunny would win. Well, she was like, some kid choked and died.
Do you have marshmallows?
So, no, I only have mini. It would be the longest game.
But what if we put like 10 in at a time?
We can. Jack would be very upset that we took his marshmallows.
By the way, his son multiple times has gone into this little closet in their kitchen, goes in. No one knows he's there until we hear just like the sound of crinkling wrapping. And by the time they open up the door, he is 100% every orifice filled with marshmallows, these mini marshmallows.
Jack, for the listeners of this show, have known him to be a breaking point in my adult life. In my stand-up act, he is known as the demon child. He is...
I can't wait for him to know this. Does he know that? We know.
Does he know that
he knows he's a demon child?
It's a weird thing. My father actually played all of my comedy albums. My kids have never really became a part of my act until the last two albums, which would have been the last 3 to 4 years when they were born. And so they heard me talk about everything about them on a car ride down here one time. And I thought that it might Jacob's sensitive and were, but he thought he just laughed. Like he just, oh, it's my dad talking. And I don't think it doesn't offend him or upset him like I thought it would. But there's a part of me that I like the idea of them finding out about it when they're 17 or 20.
Yeah.
But he went through a renaissance where then he was like this sweet, charismatic child. And now he has come around to being some weird form of a different kind of demon. He's doing this. He's sneaking into the pantry to get chocolate chips and marshmallows. He is now getting up in the middle of the night where we have a very creaky wood floor. And my wife wakes at the slightest little, like she hears the dog's claws touching the wood floor in our bedroom and just wakes up. I am not wired that way, but I will still hear him come out of the room most of the time. He has been able to get up, go into the kitchen, get his milk, and go back into his bed holding his little sippy cup of milk and then go to bed. And then recently he also started going in there and getting a pear or an apple and just taking a bite out of it and then putting it back.
Oh, and putting it back.
Diabolical.
Okay.
Like, that's, to me, just...
That's horrible. That's when... I'm not on his side.
Right. Like, to be frightfully independent. You understand? Like, just...
At the age of two.
At the age of two, he's just like, I got it. I'm just going to go get whatever I want.
But one of the most charming children I've ever... We had dinner together last night.
That's
and he looks up at me across the table and says, Kel, you're beautiful.
Yeah, that's his...
So, Kel, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
You are beautiful.
And he pulls out his little sampling little keyboard.
He sang.
No matter what you do.
He sang Xtina to me.
Say words.
No matter what the sir. Words can bring me down.
That's it. That's a
that's
good
my
one.
That's my ex-Tina impression.
So I want to know, unless you're trying to Helvetica this, like what kinds of things were you not allowed to, like, you know, to say, hey, me and Chica are going to learn how to make a firebomb.
Run with scissors!
Yeah, exactly.
Firebomb, yeah. Make a firebomb while running with scissors! On spikes through an intersection.
While playing Chubby Bunny.
Till I come think through that.
We did a shoot. We flew to Colorado. Huge snowstorm. Gorgeous. We were taken up into this mountain town where there was this big, amazing house on this hill, and just snow everywhere. And it was so beautiful. Speaking of, super cute dad owned the home. Yeah. Super cute dad that would have been like, "Can I be your kid's mom?" But
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
We went sled riding, and we were getting the sled riding shoot, and Chica's sitting on my lap. We're going sled riding. She had to wear a helmet. It was this huge conversation. They're like,
but you
real
did not?
Kids. Nope, because I'm an adult. I'm a grown-up. If I bash my head in, it's my choice. But it was this huge conversation where it was like, oh, my gosh.
What is the best thing in the world?
Someone literally in the meeting, someone went, but real kids don't wear helmets sled riding. And the S&P person looks at us and just like shrugs his shoulders and is like,
they should.
Yeah. Like, I can do nothing about this. Like,
like, is
needs
he
to wear a helmet or it can't happen.
Is he literally like holding his, like, I feel like, you know how like in a football game, if they blow a call or it's like a questionable call, they have the
they
Mike Pereira.
Replay?
Yeah, no, the Mike Pereira guy. He's the guy who works for the network, and he is he knows all things the officials know. Like, this is his job to understand every rule in the rule book and how it's supposed to break
down.
That's
what the S&P people are. Yes.
So he knows the rule book to where he's like, guys, listen, this isn't my call. The chicken puppet has to wear a helmet.
Chicken puppet has to wear a helmet. Doing improv at the comedy sports show that I did in Philly, we would often ask people for suggestions from the audience, you know, and one of them was, what's something you heard someone say today? Uh-huh. And I can't tell you how many times I'm at work and someone says something that I'm like, oh,
I wish we could just do that.
I wish we could use that. And that's one of them. Chicken puppet must wear a helmet. So yeah, standards and practices just kind of knows. And they're also constantly calculating kind of like what is okay to do, what's okay to take a risk on. And what is not okay? They're constantly calculating the risk.
Was there anything that you were like, oh, this will be a lot of fun to do on the show? And then they were like, no, you can't do that at all. Like, I have a similar experience
where... Yeah, we've cut grapes in half. We've cut grapes in half because whole grapes are considered choking hazard.
Oh.
So all grapes have to be halved grapes. So that they can just... So instead of getting stuck in the throat, they just go straight down the throat. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But yeah.
No, you're right. Well, you're right. Is that for some reason in people's brains, the peel, okay, is what is an impenetrable way to get through a fruit by teeth.
Oh.
So I've had this experience with other parents and a little bit my wife where I would give my son. I'd just give him a whole grape. And then she goes, he's going to choke. I go, no. I go, and if he does, he's only going to do it once. Not in the sense of saying then he'll be gone forever, but in the sense, like, that's how they kind of figure things out. Like, and I think this is kind of what I was talking about, that there needs to be danger. That's how you learn things, by cutting yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and
not enough people choke.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
thank you for helping me.
And cue closing music.
Stay frosty,
my friends. If you end up taking that one soundbite of me going, more people should choke, I'm ruined. My life is ruined.
I'm going to make a little PSA and say, Kelly Vrooman, this message was paid for by Kelly Vrooman.
Paid for. Not only did I say it, but I paid for it. I paid for a PSA.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be approved for, but I approved by. But I like paid for better.
Approved by and paid for by Kelly Vrooman. Love it.
I like, cut grapes. What's another thing that I think? Sweaters is one thing. I had a dad who wrote in to the show, and I want to talk. I'm going to bring this up again, I think, with another stay-at-home dad. But he talked about how you go to these parties, and you're the only father there, and how you're constantly looked at like the creepo who's hitting on everybody. Like, just
because everybody else is a mom?
Everybody is a mom. And even in today's world where the stay-at-home dads is at an all-new high and all this, you know, this progressive, you know, civilization
live
in.
That do what you're good at.
If you, right. If you, but if you are the dad who's at the preschool age kids, you know, like, you're ostracized or what, you know, it's weird. For me, that doesn't bother me because I rely on my inappropriate humor to make them feel warranted in their ostracization.
You don't try to take it away.
No,
instead, you're like, oh, you're feeling that way? I'll give you reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'll support it. I'll affirm what you believe.
Put on this polar bear rug.
I like my favorite thing to say is I like to aim probably 3 or 4 feet over the heads of the kids with my things. Like one time they were saying something like, oh, yeah, so we're going to go over to so-and-so's house and have a play day. Like, it'll be fun or whatever. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get crazy. Let's throw some keys in a fishbowl. Just see what happens, right?
What was the response?
Some of them laugh uncomfortably. Some of them laugh because they like the joke.
Because it's funny.
But my favorite are the ones that go, ha, ha, ha.
What?
Yeah,
wait,
exactly.
Is he serious? Did you ever get that one woman who just goes, oh, yeah.
No, I wish. She would be the mother of my children if she did that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I was just watching, well, by just, I mean, the holidays when you watch the Christmas moves. I was watching, what's the one about the green guy? You know me? Grinch.
Yeah.
The Grinch. And I didn't realize that as it's doing the flashback about the Grinch and how he was delivered to the old ladies' homes. Mm-hmm. As the camera's like panning down from the tree where the Grinch lands in, he's like, meh! And then the camera pans down to the window of the party that's happening in the house. There is a bowl that everyone's throwing keys into,
yeah.
And then someone picks up the bowl and like turns away, and then the camera moves on. And I had never noticed this until this year.
Those are the best moments.
Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm a grown up now.
Yes, and that's how we're going to bring it back full circle to your previous comment where people say thanks for making it bearable. Is that I could tell you that that is fully 100% a compliment. In that 99% of what you have to watch, whether it is good to the children or not, it is not intended to be good for you. And so any kind of moment that is also good for you is just like, this is great. Now everybody can enjoy this.
Thank heaven.
Otherwise, I would be disconnected constantly and just like that. Now I have a thing where I can watch my whatever's on my DVR on my phone. And so I'm tempted a lot of times just to put something on that the kids want to watch in the morning, and then I can watch whatever show it is, like Downton Abbey or something. I can watch that on my iPhone, mm-hmm. and then I can be entertained while they're entertained, as opposed to me watch, because there's very few Phineas and Ferb. SpongeBob, I think,
Phineas
for me
and Ferb,
is pretty
super
good.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun for the kids and the adults.
Yeah.
Like that's what I think is what, in my humble opinion, you actually making programming for kids maybe could weigh in on this. But I think that that would ultimately be the goal. But I think that other things, obviously like brands and all that stuff, can get in the way of it being that
yeah.
way. But
Definitely brand can get in the way. I mean, I'm not talking, you know, saying anything specific
about Sprout.
Yeah, yeah, no. Definitely brand can get in the way. Also, all the people you have to pass a script by.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you get everybody weighing in. And if one person says, I don't get that joke, then okay, well, in order to make you happy and everybody happy, got to take that joke out. Or whatever. I mean, it's very, very difficult to be able to play that line, that fine line of entertaining multiple generations.
Have you ever felt like there's a pressure, like when you do the live appearances and stuff like that? Is there a pressure that comes with that you have to put something on or make something amazing happen for kids in that moment that you've been there with them?
For the kids or for generations?
I'm talking about kids. Just like if the kids, I'm jumping topics from what
Ooh,
we were
yeah,
just
okay,
talking about.
Go.
But I'm saying like that popped into my head that I would imagine that for me, if I was in your shoes and I'm making a live appearance or something and a kid comes up and the kid like has seen me on TV or something, that I have to do something special or significant to them each and every time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Absolutely. Honestly, every kid... one of the puppeteers just gave me a huge compliment. He wrote me an email as I was leaving. It was just like, we didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And he just said, I just want to let you know. He's like, one of the most amazing things about working with you was getting to see you at the live event, because you literally made it feel like every kid that came up to talk to you was the most fascinating kid there. I think that's funny. Oh my gosh, but I do think they're the most fascinating
right.
kid there. Like,
that's why you could do it.
That's why I could do it.
Yeah.
That kids are so interesting. And even those kids that were too shy, that was something that I loved, is to be able to get down to take time. So that sometimes some parents would be like, come on, get in there. Mm-hmm. When all we needed was just a second of me being like, hey, what's your name? And getting down on their level. And then more often than not, their arms would open up and they would either want me to pick them up or we would hug and they just wouldn't want to let go. But just that moment of kind of taking, meeting them and being like, hey, you're my friend. We are here right now together having this cool experience. And the puppeteer said to me, it's like, you almost made it seem as though you were excited to be meeting them. Like you were there because you knew they would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you had to be there or not you were there so that they could meet you.
Yeah.
I think, oh, I'm so glad that came across.
Yeah.
Because I feel that.
It is good. And you are very, very good at it. But I think it's, again, going back, it's because you would just show up at random people's houses in Ohio. Like, I think it's just part of your wiring that you're just uber friendly and what I always think is interesting about that is that, and I talked about it a little bit with Sean, where I started off doing Nickelodeon shows at a theme park, and then from there I did a little bit of the Blues Clues things, and then I would go do these photo events for SpongeBob and stuff with Oasis, and like, this is all before I had children, and I started realizing that you see these parents that are doing like, okay, get up there, or freaking out because their kid's not going to get a free Polaroid, and you could look directly in the kid's eyes and the kid could care less about what's going on. I've literally had moms threaten that their boyfriends were going to beat me up on the way to the car because they didn't get a free Polaroid of SpongeBob SquarePants. And we're not even talking about Tom Kenny. We're talking about some 22-year-old girl that's usually a Miller Lite girl that they shoved into a square sponge for 6 hours to take 500 photos in a day.
Those details could not be made up.
That's true.
That's exactly what happened. Okay, got it. Oh, my gosh.
Because the only way you could hire people where you could have specific height and weight requirements is if they're in some form of an entertainment. So one of the things we would do is we would call these events and promotions people, and we would say, we need somebody who is 5'3 and weighs like 120 pounds, maximum or whatever, and so they could fit in the sponge. And so these girls are used to being Miller Lite girls or Captain Morgan girls. So they come all made up and done up, and then I go, okay, here's your outfit for that you're going to sweat in.
Oh, that covers my jiggly part.
Exactly. Most of the time they were just like, they didn't know what they signed up for.
Are you serious? They didn't know they were going to be SpongeBob for the day?
No. It's very unorganized, that whole thing, and it's so quick. Everything happens fast. But anyway,
If someone told me I was going to get to be in a costume, I would love it for one day. I would hate it for longer than that.
Right.
But I would love it for one day because you're anonymous.
Yes. Yes. Like, I've always...
You just get to do funny stuff.
Conan has that thing where he went around wearing a costume in Comic-Con. And other people have talked about it.
Like, oh, yeah.
They wear a costume at Comic-Con and they can walk around and nobody knows who they are. And I would love, like, just the idea of that would be hilarious to me. To, you know, just to... Not that even people... I think it's only fun if you have the idea, too, of people being able to say things and or get away with something. I don't know, but I like that idea of and I like, though, that a lot of people we hire that do it regularly, they smile in the costume, which is like an inside joke they have. Like if you're a character and you're, say, you're Mickey at Disneyland or whatever, you smile inside even though nobody could see it. Like, so
they, isn't that something about life?
Yeah.
You smile even though no one can smile. Tears. Even though it's breaking. What are those words? Smile even though it's
I only know that it's Michael Jackson's like favorite. They played smile, it at his funeral or whatever. Some Charlie Chaplin song, isn't that? Wasn't that the story that he wrote?
Ooh, maybe. But that's a sad song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smile through the tears of self-loathing. Smile.
All right. Well, let's put it back on the rails again, because this is something that you've seen me. You've been hanging out here at my place for what, a week now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a week, fair to say. I'm curious, and please, there's no Helvetica here.
Do they know this, by the way? Do they know that we've been roomies during the transition time?
No, we didn't break it up. But I think it's implied now.
Now we might as well just know.
Now say it. In your move to Los Angeles, you've been staying here and been awesome.
Oh my gosh, it's been so fun. I do have an apartment. It's just not, I can't move into
it. It's fine.
Yet.
Yeah. Listen, nobody's judging you.
No, here's the deal. I want people to know I'm a grown up.
You are.
Mom, ship my stuff. Don't forget my tools. Don't forget my tools. I need my tools so I can do grown up things.
But my point
is stuff, hang pictures.
I am not very good at putting on a show, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So, like, you've seen me probably yell at my kids.
I love being friends with your family. I think you guys are so entertaining. I think you're so funny. I mean, I like Natalie better than you, but like,
everybody does.
That's just the thing. Like,
I literally had that conversation with her. Right.
You literally did.
I did at lunch. She was like,
"Today,
I go, yeah, today at before we did this show, I was with Natalie at lunch, and I said, you have to understand that you are charismatic, and I am not." And she was like, "Honey, you're a comedian. That makes no sense." I
go, "You are charismatic." charismatic.
I said, no. I go, I am a comedian who's been told multiple times that you can't just walk out on stage, and if people don't know you, they're not going to like you. You have to earn, you have to get them to come around, right?
Did your mom tell you this?
Yes, lots,
Justin,
lots of times.
Justin, if people
smile,
don't know
like you. Mommy loves you.
Smile.
I told them that, I told her, I said, I go, I've had friends that have known me longer than they've known you. And from the minute I have been with you, have like anytime I talk to them, so what's Natalie doing? Like, we should get together. Like, I had a friend who was supposed to come and hang out with us, and then when they found out Natalie wasn't there, just kind of changed the plans, like, kind of thing. And so I'm used to it. I'm fine with it. But anyway, go ahead. As you were going to say, my question is that I have a famous story. This is why I was leading up to. I have a famous story on the show that I've beat to death where my mother-in-law was here talking about how amazing I am with the children to my face. And then when she spoke to my wife, she says, I yell at them too much.
Oh, my gosh. You are amazing with your kids. First of all, they're fascinating kids. Can I just defend you for that? Let me just put that out there in defense of you.
I want you to be honest. You can tell me. It's not even going to change anything. But just for I think it might be fun for the listeners to hear somebody who is not invested.
Somebody who has been sleeping between he and his wife in their bed for a week and a half. No, it's not true.
I didn't think you have to throw that detail in there.
No, it's a separate
apartment. I feel like you're the Jane Goodall to my Gorillas in the Mist. You know what I mean?
I'm just watching. Yeah. And I've been taking notes.
I know Natalie's bright eyes. I'm probably some bullshit name like Digits or whatever the hell that other one was.
I'm turning through my notes.
Okay.
Turn to the page. Horrible Foley. Of Times New Roman. Okay. So Natalie, I have also seen her yell at the kids because when I first got here, you were still out on the road.
Right.
So when I first got here, Natalie had been with the kids for 3.5 weeks without you. Mm-hmm. So I saw her at her absolute worst.
Wits end. Yeah. That was
her wits end where she's just like, when is the J-man coming home?
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. So then when I saw you and Arctic, I was like, oh, that's normal. But after, I was like, oh, everyone just yells all the time. I get it. Everyone yells. But when it comes down to the wire, sitting at another time that we did dinner together, Jacob was there. And you said something to him like, Jacob, what is that? Like, what happened? And he answered something. And then he looks up at me and he says something like, my dad squeezed me really hard today. And I was like, what do you mean squeeze you? He goes, he just hugged me and he wouldn't let go of me. And I was like, why do you think that is? He said, because he loves me. And you said, I do. I love you, buddy. And he goes, yeah, he loves me so much. And I was like, wait, how did we get from like yelling time?
Fucking kill you. Do you understand? Put your goddamn sandwich over the fucking plate. Or I will gut you like a goddamn fish. I will draw and quarter you like you're at the end of Braveheart, you little motherfucker.
My dad loves me so much.
It's true.
That's exactly what happened. I was going to be excited to see how long that rant could go on before I could say, my dad loves me so much.
Well, it's honestly, I think the reason why it comes up so much, I hope and pray that other parents don't experience this, but I truly believe that 99.9% of the people that listen to this show do. I think that's why they like this show is because I don't mind sharing my frustrations with it. And at the same time, I'm honest about my anger and I don't hide it even from my children because I had a conversation with my son in the shower. I just finished washing his hair and he's old. Jacob's old enough to where he'll take a shower on his own and everything now.
Oh, okay.
So I wash his hair.
I imagined a family shower time.
We do that too.
Everyone
there. That was another thing that you saw, which was awesome.
That was amazing.
Awesome. And I felt bad for you. Like you felt like you had interrupted or ruined it, which you didn't.
Wait,
now that
what?
I know that you're.
When I walked in on your whole family taking a shower together?
Yes. No, I was a little offended that you didn't just join in. I mean,
it's like when in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
When at the Warshaw?
We are in the San Fernando Valley. Oh. It's time to pay your rent with the webcam subscribership.
Here it goes.
But
so
no,
what?
That
Helvetica.
We were
what?
We were hugging. I was hugging my wife.
And then
my kids come and hugged us too. Like I'd had a rough day. And so I was hugging my wife, and then my kids come and hug you in. And then Kelly goes,
wait, can I tell it from my perspective?
Yes,
can
please.
I tell it from my perspective? Okay. So he had been gone forever. Natalie, finally, it was the first day that he was home the whole day. Natalie had gone off to work. She came home. It was a rough day. He had a rough day because it was like the first full day with the kids. Lots of things to do. Lots of things to wrap up at school. Jacob got in trouble for something.
Yeah.
All these things
breathing
were happening.
Breathing probably.
Yeah. And then, so I am back. I went running. I was doing some things and I came back And I'm like, oh, here we go. And I open up the door and the whole family, like Justin is holding Natalie and slow dancing with her in the kitchen while Jacob and Jack are holding onto their legs and swaying with them in the family slow dance. I open up the door, and because I'm so awkward and I realize I am interrupting probably the most beautiful, intimate family moment I have ever seen outside of my own, like, barging into my family's house and having them pack for me moments, I open, and my way of doing it was just to, like, go, oh, this is so cute! Not just slowly slink out and close the door, but to make my presence so known so that you guys could do with that what you wanted.
Yeah, no, it was fine. You weren't interrupting anything at all. Like, that's what I mean. I was one of those things where I'm like, I have, just like you were talking about, I have the same itis, if you would, where I'm like, here's a prime example. The other day, I hadn't seen you around, so I thought you were busy. So I was going to text you and say, hey, we're going to be having dinner if you want to come. And then I go, oh, but what if she doesn't want to come? And what if every time she feels like she has to come? What if she just wants to be by herself? Like, and I go, just, she's a grown person. If she, you know, and so I didn't say anything. And then, of course, you show up and I'm sitting down, like, with to eat or whatever. And I'm like, now it looks like, oh, yeah, sure. Come on in. Guess I'll make you a plate.
And I'm in the
back. Jacob, sit the fuck down.
My dad loves me so much. La, la, la. And I'm back at the apartment. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, do they want me? I mean, I feel bad. Like, they haven't had time together. And maybe I should go, oh, should I bring something? Should I bring a side dish?
We find these things out on a podcast.
We're constantly, like, texting, like, well, I mean, that's fine if you want to. You don't have to if you want to. Last night, I went for a run. And I was like, guys, I'm going to go for a run. I, like, pop my head into your house. I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. And I take off. And, like, I come back. And I jump on my computer. And I'm doing a bunch of work stuff that I have to do. And, like, 2 hours later, I get a text from Natalie going, hey, don't mean to bother you. I'm just checking in to make sure you're safe. Because, like, the mom and me never heard back. And you went running. And I just want to make sure that you're not dead.
No, she just wanted to make sure that she could retain ownership of your dog if you were actually...
He's so cute. My dog has also left me for the Worsham family. My dog has left me. He doesn't want me anymore. Herschel Worsham is the cutest name I've ever heard.
It just makes sense. Listen, I think we do an exchange and you can have Rocky Vrooman.
Rocky, do they know about Rocky?
Some of them do, probably.
Rocky is so pissed at Herschel because Herschel came in as this cute little dog, freaking loves the kids. Finally, they're like a normal-sized dog because Rocky is the size of an elephant.
Yeah.
And he's so cute, and they keep buying him toys. Every time they go grocery shopping, they buy him a toy.
That's not me. That's all my wife and children.
Bringing it back, giving him toys. He's allowed on the couch. Rocky's not. No. I just know one of these days, Rocky's going to walk by. He's a gentle giant. He's so sweet. But one of these days, he's just going to walk by, and he's going to look at Herschel chewing on a brand new toy, and he's just going to swallow him.
He's just going
to swallow him. Suck that tail in like a thing of spaghetti. Yeah.
Bye-bye, Herschel.
Bye-bye, Herschel.
Yeah, fuck you, you little shit.
Herschel's going to be like, Justin loves me so much.
So I'm going to guess then that you don't think I am too hard or yell at my children. You could be honest.
Well, it's very different than my upbringing because my parents never fought. Never once. I never heard my parents have a verbal argument ever until I was an adult. And they said that was a very conscious decision. Now, I think made me a little bit scared of confrontation. Mm-hmm. I don't really like that, blah, blah, blah. So that messed me up in a different way. So is yelling is yelling too much at your kids is the thing? I mean, I don't know. What I know is that your kids love you so much and they know that they are loved. And I think that that's the only thing that really matters. I also love how honest you are with your emotions. Like, your kids know that it's okay to have anger and to use your words to work through it, even if those words are loud. Really loud. Sometimes not okay words to use at school.
Yes.
That we love each other anyway. Things will be worked through. And I think that's what matters.
And here's the thing. The reason I'm asking this isn't so you can blow sunshine up my ass.
Do you want me to say your kids should be taken away from you?
No,
because I'll say that for you, Justin.
Unless you feel it.
No, I don't feel it. I don't feel it, of course.
Because
not.
Here's the thing. It's a thing that, this is going to sound really douchey and blowhardy, but that one of the things that I found through doing the show is that a lot of parents,
I'm a blowhard, I'm a blah, blah, blah.
Don't ruin our closing theme song.
Oh, sorry. I hope so bad it's Meredith Brooks.
I'm know. I own that song. It could be, but it would be better if it was pre-programmed. But anyway, what I found is that a lot of parents that find the show, I get emails saying like, oh my gosh, thank you for doing this because now I feel like I'm not alone. I feel, you know. And so it's moments where I try to be as honest as I can about the reality of what it is, because I fear, I still have it. I look at my oldest son and it is hard for me to not cry because I am so afraid that I am being too hard on him and that he is too frail. But everything in the pit of my stomach, in the gut, says to me that the real world isn't going to be looking to see whether or not he feels good about himself or not. And that as long as he knows that I love him and that it's doing it from a place of love, and that when I have these weird moments, I explain to him, I say to him, I go, I'm doing this because I love you like crazy and it's my job. I have to, as your dad, it's my job to make you a good man and a good person. I try to drive that home. So again, I'm not asking you to blow sunshine. I'm asking because I think that there are parents that are listening that might be in a similar boat to what I am. And unfairly, I think I can process it for other people, but not for myself. I'm saying that, to my opinion, they're unfairly carrying that burden, and that hearing somebody else who maybe feels the same way about their kids or treats them the same way, that maybe can make them feel a little bit better. Or what is more likely the case is that, well, I don't yell and curse at my kids. And so I must be doing just fine because this fuckhead is just destroying them.
Regardless,
and
you make people feel better.
They still think that he loves them.
Yeah, that's but right. That's... No matter how bad of a parent you are, Justin is worse.
Exactly.
You're fine.
It's a win-win for everyone. That's really what I'm trying to say. So that's why I'm saying it. I'm glad because I do feel like there's moments like in the shower and like what he said to you, I try to tell him, and every time he does something good, I am on top of it. I'm like, yes, you hit it out of the park. You nailed it. But I refuse to back down if they're being dickheads, to tell them that you're being a dickhead and you need to knock it the fuck off and stop it. And one of the listeners that listened to me first tell the story about my mother-in-law calling my wife, and she said, what happened? My mother was said that, you know, he yells at the kids a lot. And my wife said, well, he had a lot going on that week. And I was like, No, I don't yell at our children because I'm busy or stressed. I yell at them because they're being assholes. That's what happens. If they're being assholes, it's my job to tell them to knock it off.
You're being an AH is what my mom would have said. Oh, my gosh. My mom said, what did my mom say? She said a swear word for the first time ever recently. And it was like a joke, the way she said it. Oh, okay. You keep talking. I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to go into my head. Try to remember this. And then, so continue.
Well, it's funny because the only other thing I had to say was another question that I think has I get a lot of people write in about, you know, how I joke about how if you have one child, right, and it's pretty easy peasy, why not go for two? But it's going to be really fucking hard. So if you have one child and you're like, I don't ever want to fucking do this again. Don't do it again. But a lot of people that say that write into me or see me at the shows, they're worried about having an only child because then they're not going to have that sibling experience. Like, so I always like asking people who grew up with brothers and sisters, even you have like this age difference between your youngest brother, right? Mm-hmm. And you have an older brother or an older?
I have two brothers and then the younger brother.
And then the younger brother as well. So do you think that if you were an only child that you would feel like you were robbed of some kind of experience? So like, or is it a situation where – is it always psychologically that people think of the grass as greener? Like if people are an only child, they always wish they had brothers and sisters. If people have brothers and sisters, not that they don't love their brothers and sisters and would wish their non-existence, but the idea of being just them would be cool.
I think the way it worked for us is that super young, of course, we were playmates. And then we went through about 15 years of not caring about each other at all. Like, my one brother went into the military. That was hard, and I cared about him a lot because I was like, he signed up for the Army literally a week before 9/11.
Oh, wow. Before.
1 week before 9/11. So then when that happened, all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh. And he was overseas. He was in Iraq for a year and a half, if I remember correctly, that it's like you worry so much that if when you're listening to NPR – as I do, because I'm Hippie. Really cultured. When I'm listening to NPR, I'm like, am I going to hear his name? Am I going to hear his name? Is there going to be a story? You know, mm-hmm. Not that NPR is the one going. Like, they're the human interest stories,
right? Have you got
right?
the story on the Vrooman kid?
Hey!
Damn it, give me the Vrooman kid story!
Saving Private Ryan Vrooman!
his name is Ron. I have never seen that movie to this day because I feel like it came out not too long after that or a little bit before that. But I knew he was joining the military at that point, or he was already in it. And I was like, I can't watch this. It's going to make me think of my brother. It's like, of course it is. Whatever. Watch it and learn. Kelly, I'm so sensitive. I'm so sensitive. I'm the Jacob. If we were Jacob or Jack, I think I'm the Jacob more so than the Jack. I mostly model like all of my life decisions after one of your boys. As a grown woman, what I do. Okay, I'm thinking this through because I haven't ever had this question before. But I think there was a good chunk where we just didn't care about each other. So that brother, before he went into the military, came to the same college that I did. No, wait a minute. No, he had already been over to Iraq and then he came to college late. He was a non-traditional student and he came later and I was already at that college. But we didn't hang out. Like I went to his dorm room like 3 times. And now that I think back on it, because now we're close again. We went through this time of like, we are each other's primary source of playtime and friendship. Mm-hmm. Now we don't care about each other. We're even living in the same city, in the same dorm, in this within 50 feet of each other. And we don't care about each other at all. And now we're back to the place where my siblings and I have a cousin that we consider a sister. We text every day, multiple strain of thought, like just joke after joke after joke after joke after comment after funny picture. And it's wonderful. And I would not give that up. But if it's something that I didn't know is my reality, I'm sure that I would have friends who are my family.
That's my wife's point was that if we don't have another child, then Jacob would be by himself when we died. Like that was the whole reason Jack exists.
But he would get all of your money.
Right. That's what I said. I did. I literally said.
You know where it goes.
He would not have to split anything. There would be nothing to fight over. There would be no one else to try and pawn one of. I mean, realistically, I'm going to go first. Then she's going to go probably 5 to 10 years later.
Yeah, she will live 30 years longer than you. She will live until she is 140 years old.
I have
old.
To start enjoying life.
Yeah, you do.
She's going to live 30 years long. I don't got much left to go. But you know what I mean? Like, and I go, and he's going to have his own family, like that's going to work it out. And in our situation, I mean, my dad doesn't really talk to his brothers. You know, I have a stepbrother and a stepsister that I love dearly, but just because of life and the way things are, we don't interact on a regular basis. I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of the same situation from, again, my angle. It's easy to say from 400 miles away, but my brother and sister don't really interact with each other that much that I'm aware. And I don't know. I just think that in your head, you always think it's going to work out like these Hallmark moments, but it kind of feels like it kind of is now. That because I always imagine that your relationship with your siblings is based on your parents. But now you have this relationship with your siblings that is not even connected to your parents. It's through you two.
Yeah, it's through us. And honestly, through technology. Like, if we didn't have all of us iPhones where we can do group chatting, I don't think we would be as close as we are. But we're so close in the sense my mom has 4 sisters, 2 of whom when I was driving across the country to come out here and taking my big old adventures, thanks to everybody who followed me with those on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatnot. It was so much fun hearing everybody's comments. And people would, like, write to me about things to go stop off and see. But when I was in Dallas, I visited 2 of my mom's sisters. The 2 aunts that are in Ohio, one of them never had kids. The other one is the mom of my sister cousin. And both of those aunts I'm going to help take care of when they get super old. I mean, that's just what my family is, we say we had 3 moms and none of them are the perfect mom. None of them are perfect, but all 3 of them together make the perfect mom. Yeah.
Like sister wives.
It's
almost
like sister wives, yeah. but they're literally sisters and only one is married to my dad. I'm not going to tell you which one that is.
I got to be honest. That's not how I thought that sentence is going. I don't know why, but for some reason, the honest answer was not what I saw coming.
I wish I had said something different.
Nope. It was good.
Nope.
Perfect the way it is. Well, we did it, Kelly. That was it. Unless there's anything else you feel like you wanted to say to parents or anything like that out there.
Oh, geez. Now I feel I have to say something like wise and good and kind.
No. That's not this show. That's not
no.
Wisdom is never.
Should I let out a slew of profanity?
You can if you want.
No, I can't. Because I don't want to. I mean, I like to save that for
you
me
and
time.
Joe.
For me time. For me and Joe time. For right before a big old Helvetica.
You just curse galore. Oh.
Thank you for this. You're fun and
that's
funny.
That's how me and my wife do it all the time. Yeah. So, well, if you want, we could do it again some other time. I mean, you're going to be around here. It's
yeah.
Up to you.
I think it'd be fun.
Don't answer now. It's weird because you feel like you have to.
No, I do. But I
I'd
want
rather
to.
What you
no,
know.
But I want to. Are you hesitant?
No, I don't know. Am I hesitating because I want to make sure you feel safe for not hesitating?
Oh, no, I feel safe.
Okay, good. That was a weird
fart. What was that fart sound?
That was my mic stand.
And silence, the only silence, because it got silent and you got so nervous again. You started profusely sweating, so you made a fart sound this time.
It was the chair! It was the chair!
Yeah, make it again. Do the sound again. Oh, all right. He just farted twice, you guys. That was his second fart.
We went to Granada for that. All right, that was the show. You can send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You could, there's a way to give us a call now, but I don't have the number off the top of my head. So I'm going to skip that for this show.
1-800-666.
Not the
one. Huge. I just learned, by the way, that's the phone number for the topless maid service.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
LA.
Right.
I did
Kelly pointed out to me. I don't know how you found it or where, but she was like, did you know that there's a topless maid service?
It's a hot pink van.
And I felt uncomfortable that I was like, yeah, I do. Like, and then I had to start backpedaling. I was like, I've never used them. I just know. I mean, I've never seen the van, but I guess I'm just assuming. If they do the news, they clean your house.
And by that point, I'd fallen asleep because he'd been talking for 3 hours about how he knew what they were.
Going in the back. The motion sensor light has gone off. you can like the show. Please like the show at facebook.com/dadpodcast. You could follow the show @dadpodcast on Twitter, me @JustinWorsham. If you want to
Kelly @KellyVrooms.
How dare you? I have it right here. Fucking jump in on the middle of my plugs when I have it right here.
Justin loves me so
Facebook.com/KellyVrooman. You could get the spelling in the actual title, or there's a link in the description if it works out as a link. Otherwise, you can just copy. If you want to find her website, you can go to kelly-vrooman.com. Because as my host pre-production, if you go to kellyvrooman.com.
We'll talk about that next. To be discussed next time. Be continued.
Not
as they say at the
honestly,
end of Batman.
How I thought that was going to go, but I honestly didn't think that's how it was going to go.
Is only married to one of my moms.
That should be your drop. And you could, of course, follow her at Twitter, as she has already mentioned, @KellyVrooms. Oh, you know what I didn't get? It was your Instagram. Do you want to give people your Instagram?
Ooh, @KellyVrooms.
Oh.
Keeping it consistent. Whoa.
Brandy.
I am consistent.
The other thing I need you to do is go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber. Some of you may have noticed by now that if you're new and you're listening to older episodes, that there used to be a $2 a month option. Now it is only $24 a year. I apologize for that, but what was happening is I had more than just one. I had a few people, and I'm not mad about it, but I was just like, well, if I do this, then it's never an issue. People that would do the $2 a month, and then I would send them all of my CDs and everything like that, and then they did it for 2 or 3 months, and then they would cancel it. Again, I'm not mad. I don't know what your life is. And
you're a terrible person.
I'm not saying that, but it's just frustrating for me when it's like I give away the stuff, and there's going to be more things now in the future, so I'm like, I'm going to nip this in the butt. Because now we're going to start adding a fifth episode every month for premium subscribers only. So that's the only way that you will be able to get the extra show, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it will be the show with Mr. Paco Lancini. One of your guys' favorites will be the premium episode this month.
Woo!
So if you want to be able to hear that, go to thedadpodcast.com, become a paid subscriber, and I think that's it. So on behalf of my friend Kelly Vrooman, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.